Welcome to In Plain Sight. Jeremy, your host here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Now more than ever, last month more than ever, and probably next week more than ever, we need Republic needs your fundage. You can mail your check or money order payable to RBN. Send that to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in that debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3, and set up a recurring payment, maybe $5-$10 a month, anything. I will be contributing some fundage next week. I look forward to that. Julie, remind me. It's probably going to be when Mike's on in the middle of the week. Got a little fundage coming my way. So I want to contribute to the station that gives me this platform. Think about all the good broadcasts that you hear. You don't agree with all of them, maybe. But at least you get a good rounded point of view of what's going on in the world today, and even of historical views from the past. We got a little bit of everything on here. We've got flat earthers. We've got spherical earthers. We've got moon landing deniers. We've got people that talk about Jewish power. We've got Trump supporters. Guy right before me, big Trump guy. And you know what? His show is probably going to be even more relevant for the next 4 years, because it looks like 5 years, because it looks like Trump is going to take this thing. That I don't think that they can fake the election. And actually, they probably want him in. And probably because they're wanting someone to broker the U.S. back into the global scene. Pretty much shot ourselves in the liver, this country has, with the Russia-Ukraine sanctions backfiring. And now you got BRICS and Belt and Road and Russia and China emerging as dominant global powers. They're probably going to need somebody to negotiate them back in. And I'm sure they're going to push for some sort of conflict with Iran. And Trump is the guy for that, I'm sure. Who knows what he's going to do on immigration? I don't look for anything great. But at any rate, I got off on a little tangent. I was back to shilling for the station. You get all sorts of points of view. You got Richard's great show, Beyond the Official Narrative. It comes on at, 6 p.m. Central. I know Patrick is on at noon now. And Chris Hinckley, I mean, what a spiritual journey that Chris takes you on. Very, very sharp host. And then you got the weekend lineups, Stephen Whitener and Paul Edward Stevenson, to get a little view from the UK. So if you want to keep this going, please get some money in there, send the fundage, and it'd be a shame if this had to shut down just because, everybody that listens just wouldn't give a few bucks. That's literally all it would take, is for all listeners to give $5 to $10, and we'd get this thing back in the black. So I'm going to open up with some news. On the January 6th, we had another January 6th protester. It is the gift that keeps on giving, this going after these people exercising their First Amendment right. Now, granted, there are a lot of protesters there that did some craziness. I got it. But there's no need in this. I mean, here we're going, 3 years later? When was that, 2021? Yeah, we're in 24, man. It's been 3 years. January 6th rioter, this is from NBC News, who was holding a Stop the Steal sign and had swung at officers with a Trump flag. This according to the FBI. Washington, a man arrested on Thursday in connection with the January 6th attack on the U.S. It's always an attack. I'm surprised it's not labeled deadly attack. That would be even more ominous. The attack on the U.S. Capitol. This man assaulted law enforcement officers with a Donald Trump flag while holding a Stop the Steal sign, according to an FBI affidavit. The case, along with several more arrests this week, once again underlines the motivation of the violent pro-Trump mob that attacked officers and tried to stop the peaceful transfer of power, even as Trump supporters continue to spread conspiracy theories, basically blaming left-wing activists and federal agents. Well, it's kind of a not baseless The majority of the groups that were there, the major groups, were Fed infiltrated, and you had provocateurs on the ground. We don't have to go over all of this. I just wanted to highlight this guy, Lance Lagalki, and he's nicknamed Full Flag Suit, based by one of the online sleuths. Okay, so there's apparently online detectives that are trying to find people that were at January 6th, going through their social medias. And anyway, that's how this guy was found. And so whoever this online detective was, they reported him to the FBI. He faces felony charges of assaulting, resisting, or impeding officers, as well as obstruction of law enforcement during a civil disorder and other misdemeanor charges. NBC News has reached out to a federal public defender who represented Lagalki during his initial appearance in federal court in Illinois. So according to the affidavits, he was observed approaching the lower west terrace of the Capitol building and swinging a pole with a Trump flag at law enforcement officers. Why would you do that? You know, you did have some completely unhinged people there. And you do stuff like this at a protest, you know, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And this guy won one. That having been said, it is very lame that they're combing social media, still trying to find these people. And there's an image of him here. I mean, the guy looks really cartoonish. He's got a red, white, and blue suit on. Like, his pants are striped red and white, and he's got the stars on his sleeve, the stars from the flag. He's basically wearing an outfit of the flag. One of the images shows him posing at Peace Circle, where rioters first breached the restricted grounds on the U.S. Capitol, and another features him posing in front of the inauguration platform. In messages, according to the FBI, Lagalki described January 6th as awesome and said they did breach the Capitol. They pointed out that he misspelled breach in Capitol, and he also called Trump a lone wolf. And he called Vice President at the time, Mike Pence, a snake. Quote from Lagalki, "Everyone I see is ready to fight," according to the FBI. And he also said that no one wants to talk anymore. I see a civil war of some sort coming. This is so cartoonish. I mean, I would almost put this in the category of bull shaman guy. I mean, maybe this guy is actually working for the feds, because it really is a ridiculous looking image. And the fact that someone would do this at this very high profile rally, I don't know. I don't want to make a final call on it. There are legitimate people being tracked down. I know that for a fact, that even here in West Kentucky, one of the contractors I work with said that the FBI is showing up at people's houses that were just there, that didn't do any violence, but they ping their phones and they're interviewing them. Not detaining them, just interviewing them. So it's ongoing. I would imagine that even when Trump is in office, they're still going to be, you know, doing this and trying to arrest protesters and idiots that show up that act like this guy. Oh, here's another good one of him. Lagalki sitting in a truck holding a Trump bust of a little statue. He's got some guns, I'm not going to lie. Arms, that is. You know, he's biceps. All tatted up with, like, skulls. And he's got American flag glasses on and an American flag Trump hat. It really is cartoonish. Anyway, hours after his arrest, Biden said during his State of the Union that Trump and some of his supporters in Congress wanted to continue to obfuscate what happened on January 6th. Again, it just keeps going and going. It's not going to stop. In other news, we got a huge protest. Speaking of protesters, went on in Amsterdam at the opening of a new Jewish Holocaust museum. I'm getting this from the Stormer, highlighted this, and they highlighted some tweets on X from Sky News. Sky News is breaking: pro-Palestinian protests take place outside of the opening of a national Holocaust museum in Amsterdam. Oh, we get this. Isaac Herzog was there. The Israeli president was in attendance at this grand opening. There's also like the king of Amsterdam or something. So this, the point of this is that to have a protest like this outside of a Holocaust museum, the most holy of sites, the most holy of causes, really shows the direction that the global populace is going, specifically those on the left that are tired of seeing babies maimed and blown up on their social media reels. From Reuters, Israeli President Isaac Herzog attending an opening of a Holocaust museum in Amsterdam on Sunday. He called for prayers for peace and the immediate release of hostages taken by Hamas in the October 7th attack, who are still held by Islamic militants. Does that prayer for peace also include women and children that have been had their legs blown off? Does it include the starving Palestinians that are unable to get aid and food because the IDF is shooting them as they try to get to the supplies? Will this prayer for peace include those that were crushed by the U.S. or whoever the planes were dropping pallets on these people? No. Anyway, there's a protester that's holding a sign in front of the Holocaust Museum that says "Detour to International Criminal Court." It's pretty clever. Local health officials say nearly 31,000 Palestinians have been killed since Israel launched its offensive in response to the attack on southern Israel, in which some 1,200 people were killed, the Israelis that is, and 253 taken hostage, with 134 still held, this according to the Israel tallies. Herzog said that this was a display of hatred and anti-Semitism, and that this is flourishing worldwide, and we must fight it together. Well, gee, I wonder why it's flourishing worldwide. At a square nearby, protesters were chanting, "Ceasefire now," and "Stop bombing children," while holding Palestinian flags and signs that said, "Jews against genocide," and "The grandchild of a Holocaust survivor says, stop Gaza Holocaust." This is interesting. So there's Jews there that are, you know, the not in our name type crowd. And I'm sure they're probably legitimate. But they're actually using the Holocaust now in a different way. The grandchild of a Holocaust survivor says, stop the Gaza Holocaust. That's a clever tactic. Some of them set off fireworks and threw eggs at police, while a few tried to climb police vans as the protests grew more tense in the afternoon. Herzog's remarks that not only militants, but an entire nation was responsible for the October 7th attack, and that Israel will fight until, quote, we break their backbone, unquote. South Africa cited these statements in its International Court of Justice lawsuit against Israel. An entire nation. So Herzog is saying this is basically their justification for doing what they're doing to the civilians, because it's all of Palestine that's responsible for these few militants that parachuted over the wall. Well, anyway, there's a picture of King Wilhelm Alexander. I guess he's an Amsterdam guy getting a tour at the museum. And there's even more tweets of these angry crowds holding signs. A lot of women in the crowds, mostly white, pretty much all white. This is Amsterdam. And you got a post from Jews Against Genocide in Amsterdam. How can a museum be used to normalize genocide? Isaac Herzog puts all of us in danger. Our death deserves respect. That's from Jews Against Genocide. So, again, we're seeing this total political shifting of the left, where it's just attacking itself, just like one of those neurological diseases where your immune system attacks your own nerves. That's kind of what we're seeing here politically, and not just in the U.S., but all over the world. We've got this going on now. talk about unsustainable. So more in the news. Meanwhile, in the news, what else did I have here? I'm going to go back to the prep page. It's been kind of a day. It's been a bit of a day. Didn't have a lot of time to do prep on this. You know, when you're working sometimes 12-hour shifts. That's why I've played a couple of reruns here and there where I wasn't able to make it back in time to do the show, but we're going to push on. All right. The House is pushing the Trump plan to give the Ukraine their billions as a loan. That's right. Not just going to give it to them. We're going to loan it to them because that's the Trump plan. That's what he decided. U.S. Republican lawmakers are drafting a bill that would dole out some non-military aid to the Ukraine as a loan. So not only is it a loan, and we're going to get that paid back with interest, I'm sure, but it's non-military aid so that we can't say that we're supporting this military conflict. It's a loan rather than a gift. This is according to NBC on Friday. Well, the GOP views the plan as a compromise between the party's pro- and anti-Kiev factions. Democrats insist that there are no strings attached. $60 billion bill is the only way forward. Again, we see the Democrats and Republicans working perfectly together. They act like they're both in opposition to each other. And this is very elementary political analysis, but just please humor me. It's been a long day. Again, they would seem like they're at odds, but they're going to get what they want at the end of the day, and that's $60 billion to Ukraine. Republican-controlled House has thus far refused to hold a vote on the bill, with GOP lawmakers demanding that it be bundled with dramatic tightening of U.S. immigration law. Not just the tightening of U.S. immigration law, and not just the enforcement of it, but dramatic tightening. Now, what does dramatic tightening look like? Maybe not cutting the razor wires. You know, look, I've mentioned this before ad nauseum. The laws are already there. We don't need any more legislation. We don't need anything in a spending package that gives us the authority or even the manpower to enforce the border. It's there. It's in the Constitution. And the various states have every right to deploy the National Guards to protect the border. Federal government, I mean, it is supposed to protect it. The executive branch, execute, you know, thus the term execute the law. This is all just nonsense, and people read it and they think, the guys that I voted for on the Republican side, they're really holding out here. No. They're going to get what they want. They're going to still have an open border. And, you know, maybe they crack down a little bit on immigration, but too little too late, man. We already have tens of millions of people in here illegally. They said at one time, I don't even know what the numbers are. I'm not even going to try to guess. I think tens of millions would be a lowball number. Anyway, we're up on the first break. And I'm going to try to sift through some more news and take your calls. 512-248-8252. Back on the other side.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. as a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Okay, we're back to In Plain Sight. And so, yeah, we have the support of the Ukraine being more of a Democrat thing and less of a Republican thing, even though really it's more of a Jewish thing, isn't it? Because Newland's running the show here, or she was. She, as Patrick and I covered last week, she's stepping down, and you still have Blinken in there. And but really, it's the whole thing of taking the Ukraine and putting in a Western friendly government and trying to overthrow Putin with these sanctions. That really was a Jewish thing. As Patrick and I have pointed out ad nauseum. And meanwhile, BlackRock gets $500 billion deal to rebuild the Ukraine. So got a bunch of winners here in this. But even though you could say maybe at face value that, you know, the Democrats are more in support of the Ukraine than the Republicans, they're both going to support Israel and supporting Israel's genocide and giving Israel whatever it wants, including unlimited money. So they're not even going to pretend on that one. But as I mentioned, it's completely destroying the base of the Democrat Party and the whole leftist movement. Because that's where the real force of this protest against the genocide is coming from, is from the core of the left in all Western countries and in most all countries. Well, you only really have a left and right in Western countries. But you get my point. So anyway, yeah, BlackRock gets the deal. So what to do? I wanted to just talk a little bit about solutions. I heard Dan and Richard talking on Beyond the Official Narrative. Some people say it's capitalism, it's evil, we need socialism. You know, some would say no, socialism's bad and communism's bad. Well, look, here it is at the end of the day. None of these things would work in the United States of America. All right, you had a very successful socialist government in Denmark, for decades when they were predominantly Danish. And very high taxes. They had subsidized housing and roads and education. And they had a pretty good life there. As a matter of fact, Bernie Sanders used that as his model of socialism. But that would never work in America. First of all, we're about 50% like non-white. And in that scenario, in a socialist country, you're just going to get the third worlders living off, and mostly the brown people living off of the whites that work and support the system. So that wouldn't work. Just like we saw in Denmark when they flooded it with immigrants, that collapsed the system. And now it is not working the way that it did. So you can't have that there. You can't have national socialism in a country that is not one nation, or nation meaning ethnicity in the most historic sense of the word. It's just not going to work. The best we could hope for would be to control this immigration thing, cut it off completely. We'd have to get rid of the Jewish power that rules our country, install leaders that actually cared. And then we'd have to go to a system of complete meritocracy where, you know, your job, your even your housing, even where you lived was based on your merits and your work ethic and your ability to make and save money. That would give America a natural segregation. And it wouldn't be like total, like, you know, you're not going to get, in other words, you're going to get some blacks that rise to the top. And even some Mexicans that rise to the top and you know, that participate in the white communities, and vice versa, you're going to get some trailer park trash white people that, you know, are going to not make it into the better communities. But at least it would be a little bit better of a system. It would be more like what we had maybe in the 50s and 60s. Okay, maybe even the 80s. Let's just say 80s. Where, you know, it wasn't, you wouldn't call it an ethno state by any means, or couldn't even say that, but you could definitely say that certain portions of the country would be predominantly white, upper working class. And then you would have your, and we're starting to kind of see that the big cities are just shedding white people that want to get away from what's going on there. And they're shedding people of color that work hard and that see what's going on, and they're coming into the rural areas and small towns. So we're already seeing that. All we need now is leadership that actually cares about the country and the people. But we don't have that. We have leadership that's driven by money from corporations and this terrible desire to just dominate the globe at any cost. Anyway, we're coming up on the next break. Give me a call. Let me know what's on your mind.
There's something I wanna say. Since you've been gone, there's no one taking your place. Since you've been gone,
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists, from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Memory! Your lamplight is burning holes. Recover the damage. Bring it all home. Follow the blues, just like a summer song. And stay there forever. I try to remember. Come home.
Back from bottom of the hour break to in plain sight. And I was just pointing out that really a system of meritocracy is what would get us back on track. That is after we somehow install leaders that governors that care about us. That is not going to look like it's going to happen. You know, I wouldn't want the government to have the power to nationalize. I wouldn't want to give them more power. So in this messed up system that we're in, I actually go back to my right-wing libertarian roots and say less power, less government, you know, because it's obvious that they hate us and they make policies that are destroying us. NAFTA, you know, being the turning point there. Of course, big corporations is where the real power is. That's who enforced really the COVID mandates. That's who enforces the climate change agenda. Climate change agenda being defined as measures taken that actually hurt businesses rather than help the climate. And, you know, these corporations, they just keep funneling money to our politicians. That's, you know, that's not going to change. All we can look for is a total collapse of this federal government, just a dismembering of the states into regions, I suppose, similar to what happened with the Soviet Union, and then different states or regions being able to negotiate and trade with foreign countries. You already have this with China trading directly with soybean farmers in the U.S. You sort of have the beginnings of this. So, yeah, total collapse. And, wow, I lost my train of thought. Total collapse of the system. A complete reversal of NAFTA. We've got to start producing things here again. Go back to a protectionist type system. And it really is very similar. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but, you know, the 50s to the 80s, we sort of had this where we at least produced our own tires, you know, and steel and things like that. That's really what's going to do it. And I think the first step in this is the federal government becoming irrelevant in the minds of the people, just as it is in the minds of foreign leaders. So that's where we're at. Speaking of climate change and measures that hurt, the New York Post has an interesting one. New York City has quietly approved a controversial green plan to require pizzerias and matzo bakeries using decades-old wooden and coal-fired stoves to cut their smoky pollutions by 75%. Mayor Eric Adams, his Department of Environmental Protection, said the fresh edict takes effect on April 27th, with some city businesses having already coughed up more than $600,000 for new smoke eating systems in anticipation of the expected mandate. Let me just start by saying burning wood is very efficient. That's what I use. And wood is a renewable resource. I mean, come on. And the more trees you plant, you know, the better it's going to be for the environment. It kind of just makes sense. It's like that John Denver song. I'm not going to sing it. I don't have the voice right now. Plant a tree for your tomorrow. Pretty sure that was John Denver. I'll look it up on the next break to make sure. But anyway, and the people are like, you're going after pizza, glorious New York pizza. This was from Mike Dabin in a recent online comment to the city. Can't you go after diesel trucks instead of pizza ovens? Well, I would say leave them both alone. We need diesel trucks because diesel engines are efficient ways to move product from point A to point B. All right. Businesses using wood and anthracite stoves can apply for a variance, but they need evidence to prove that they're unable to comply with the mandate. All right. Anthracite is the really, really hard coal that burns longer with less smoke. So, you know, even they're getting targeted. Pizza lovers and some entrepreneurs went bonkers when the Post first reported on the proposed rule last summer, worried that the dough needed to comply, with the measure would be, would put beloved spots out of business, or at least affect the taste of their tomato and mozzarella slices. Again, when the government has power, they just do things that hurt the people. And corporations are going to benefit because what's going to happen? The mom and pop shops, pizza bakeries are going to go out of business. The smaller businesses, gone. And all that business and money is going to transfer then to corporate-owned pizza places where they can afford to come in and put all of this expensive new oven, you know, technology that supposedly will, you know, be better for the environment, but it really won't. Adams has defended the mandate for the Big Apple, which was recently named the most expensive city to get a slice of pizza in the country. Oh, that's another thing. These smaller businesses start to close, they're going to have to raise the price, and you're going to be looking at a $50 pizza if they're having to, you know, fork up all this dough to get new ovens. Edward Timbers says that the scientific evidence is clear that reducing emissions of the particulate matter will improve the health of New Yorkers and reduce hospital visits and costs pool without changing the amazing taste of New York City pizza. About 130 Big Apple businesses will be affected by the new rule. The DEP received 155 online comments about the plan before it was approved, with most opposing it. And they call it an egregious step and so on. Again, this is just another ploy to destroy small businesses in the name of the environment. Got our first caller. We got Dan in Washington. Dan, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man, it's good.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, capitalism and the immigration issue. If you look back, I mean, we just need to start nationalizing crap. I know you wouldn't want to give the government more power, but we need to. So the thing is, when you tax people that have all the money, it gives the people more power, basically. So because Reagan cut the taxes on the super wealthy, we're all paying more taxes. And I would just say it leads to white genocide. Capitalism leads to white genocide, where socialism doesn't.
Capitalism, the way it's practiced in the last three decades, yeah. I agree with that. But
what about the first 100 years, too, though, with slavery, right? Whereas if you had, socialism... Go ahead.
Let me stick with a more observable, maybe a better example. America from the 50s through the 80s was really an ideal place. And it was before corporations got way out of hand. Now they were starting to with your Walmarts and all that. But, you know, that was the time for the government to have start nationalizing things and put into place, antitrust laws to keep these corporations from getting so big so that you could still get out of high school and open up a small business at the court square. I think that ship has sailed. I think we've got a beast of a government now that just... If you gave them that power, if they had that power, they would do stuff like this, what they're doing in New York, trying to close, you know, small pizza ovens.
I mean, if you mandate that they have to give everybody health care and just reverse the Reagan tax cuts, because like you said, till the 80s, well, what happened with Reagan? He cut the taxes on the super wealthy, and he financialized the economy. And America basically became an oligarchy, and then those oligarchs and nonprofit corporate things said, hey, we need cheap labor. So I don't know. That's where you're right, though. Yep. Huey Long, at the beginning, you had Huey Long that was going to nationalize the oil, basically, or the profits. And think how differently America would have been, you know? And you probably wouldn't have had World War II, because it's similar to what Hitler was doing.
And you're right. You know, early 20th century, they should have nationalized the oil and you know, Carnegie and Rockefeller and all the like. I mean, they shouldn't have been able to get that big. And then the argument would be from, you know, the Patriots, well, but this is what America's about, you know, is making a lot of money and rising up. Okay, true, but when you let people get that big, like these corporations have done, now you're destroying the American dream for everyone else. You know,
I agree.
Everyone's millionaires and billionaires.
It turns your country into an oligarchy. I mean, Rockefeller and, there's certain big natural resources that I just think they should nationalize. And a lot of them kind of have been. If something's that big where it produces that much wealth, then if someone's allowed to control that, then they just control the country, like you're saying. Well, that's simple.
And that's why I sort of hold to this, that we passed the point, you know, of no return there, and the best we can hope for is a collapse of the federal government. And it's nothing that we're going to do. They're doing it to themselves. They're already irrelevant in the eyes of the international community. And as they become more irrelevant and, you know, the American populace, I think states are going to band together, and, you know, your sanctuary city states, your more liberal states, are just going to be a mess, and they're going to fail. And probably corporations will be, you know, have to deal with local state governments. That's what I think the direction that we're going, whether we want to or not, or whether we think it's a good idea or not.
Do you think if you tax, you know, because you have, like, the Chamber of Commerce and a lot of these red states do these big corporate farms and stuff. I mean, the fact that we don't have a national health care system and these guys just, like, profit off the cheap labor, you know, without... And then they spread out the cost to us, you know, like the health care goes up, the insurance, your property tax... So I just think like a national healthcare system would be a good place to start, and just make these out and make these guys pay more taxes.
Again, though, with that scenario, you're going to have white upper working class paying into the system through their good jobs, and all the people they're bringing in from the third world are just going to live off of it. and not contribute. It's going to be just like Denmark. I mean, Denmark fell apart when they brought immigrants in. And I will admit, you're right. If we lived in a, you know, if our demographics looked like Denmark did 20 years ago, it would be a good system.
Didn't they stop? Isn't Denmark, I thought, was an example of like a liberal or left-wing approach to stopping immigration? Because they just basically said, hey, we're not going to have this great system and mass immigration too. And I think they actually stopped immigration. Or slowed it down, I thought, in Denmark.
And again,
you know, that's the thing. Would you trade national socialism for all white country, you know, or like no immigration at least?
Well, yeah, that's the point. In this, you know, to have a government like Denmark had, we would have to like push a lot of people out here, stop the immigration totally, and start deporting like crazy. And I don't see that happening.
I think you're kind of right. I mean, it might all fall apart in America first, but I think the countries that want to survive will have to do. They're going to have to get their rich people under control. You know, I mean, I think Reagan did that too. He made the nonprofit, you know, because the whole government bad thing. Okay, well then you got to. He made a bunch of nonprofits. He basically created the NGO, you know? So now you got these billionaires with NGOs like George Soros or, you know, I mean, how about we just take all their money? Like, it should be illegal to have an NGO like that. And
easier said than done. Easier said than done. And I got Scott holding, so I want to make this last point and then we'll get on to Scott, but In the scenario that I'm painting where a dismemberment happens, like Soviet style, and let's say you have like Kentucky, Tennessee, and Missouri band together, and for everybody that has a job that's working, you know, they get some sort of a state, you know, coverage, healthcare coverage, and tuition. But you have to have a job in order for it to work. I think that would be an ideal situation. And then Illinois could just give away all their money to the illegals, you know, because that's what they're going to do anyway.
Well, the people that need health care usually don't have jobs, though. That's why the national health care systems don't usually work that way. That's what we got right now, basically. It's just,
but when we bring back production, when we bring back production to the states by cutting deals with these corporations and bringing them to heel, you know, then you have more jobs. It wouldn't be an excuse to not have a job. But you have all valid points. I think I do too, but...
Yeah. All right, well, I'll let the other caller get on. I'm just tired. We can't keep pushing the Reagan crap, you know. Government bad, but then we can't, you know. That's where I'm at. I'm just not going back to the Reagan or the Republican side of things. Because you know? It hasn't done any good for like 40 years, you know? In my view. I mean, we would have been better off with Hillary care. Now that I look back at it, maybe if they would have taxed the wealthy and had national health care, maybe you wouldn't have had this influx of immigrants, because then they would have, if the rich top 1% had to pay higher taxes, pay for all their health care, then you'd have less immigration as well. Anyway, all right, cool. Awesome. You got a good point,
right,
too.
Thanks a lot, Dan. Julie said we can skip the break. We got Scott in Arizona up next. Scott, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
FDR, he's the one that suspended the antitrust laws, and he started allowing corporations to combine with corporations. They were called illegal combinations up until about the turn of the century there. Now we got one corporation combined with 500-600 other corporations like BlackRock or 1,000, who knows? And you concentrated all the wealth into one spot. And that's what socialism and communism does. It just concentrates the wealth to a few people. Now, like in the 1800s and that, it was small farms. If they needed to build... Well, Hoover Dam, let's say, they allowed those guys to combine together. build the dam, and then they had to break up, disperse. They couldn't stay together as a corporation. Or when they did the Erie Canal. Some projects are just too big for a single person to do, right?
Right.
So they had a they charter a corporation, and the maximum length of a corporation, I believe, was 20 years. But it had to be a big project or something like that. And then with FDR, they're in Columbia University, they go, well, you know, it costs a lot of money for health care and nutrition and housing. Why don't we just have the government pay for all that, and then we don't have to? So now we ended up with a system that's cheaper than slavery because they don't have to pay for the health care or housing or food of their workers. Then they pay them unlivable wages.
Yeah, I'm just pulling this up here. The National Industrial Recovery Act of 1933, that's where FDR, in response to the Great Depression, suspended the antitrust laws. Yeah, and they had a lot of good program, federal, you know, work programs going on, like the Kentucky Lake was one.
Yeah, Tennessee River thing, mm-hmm. Tennessee Authority.
Yeah,
so now now we're paying what the corporation should pay. They should pay for their workers' health care, pay them enough to get buy their own food and provide housing. You know, the Southern slavery, those plantation owners had to provide all that because, you know, if you don't have a healthy worker, you're no good, right? Mm-hmm. So they had to provide them housing. They provided them good food and that kind of, and clothing. Now they don't have to provide any of that. Then they don't, you know, taxing the rich, no one should be taxed, starting with the poor. No, income tax has to be abolished. That's unjust.
Well, I would agree with you there, but the key to all that is bringing back production, and that's where I don't know how we get from where we're at to producing our own goods again and then putting, you know, tariffs on imports. That's really, in that scenario, then, you know, you would have plenty of jobs for people here, and the businesses should cover their employees' health care.
Right.
But now we're in a situation where we don't have jobs. The best paying jobs in most, you know, rural areas and even in cities like Louisville or Frankfort in Kentucky, I mean, some of the higher paying jobs are only like 18 to 20 an hour, and that's not enough. And people can't afford health care. They can hardly afford to feed their families because they're making enough to not get food stamps, but they're not making enough to make it, you know, sort of where we're at now. And it goes back to, we don't have job. We don't have production here. Everybody's working at restaurants and hotels.
Well, the bank has to go. It has to go. It's what's the budget? $7 trillion or something?
Yeah.
Proposed budget. And, you know, and then they, what's the interest per day? What, $4 or $5 trillion a year in interest now, or $2 trillion anyway, I believe. So we're paying millions of dollars a second. I mean, it's for what? You know, we have to get a just waffle money system, and then the production will come back.
Let me see what you think about what I was saying about a collapsed Soviet Union style of the federal government, you know, where the better producing states, your more, I guess, right-leaning states, if you will, would negotiate with corporations directly and, you know, bring production back. I think that would be a scenario that's feasible.
Well, right now they're going to, white people are going to have to separate if it continues on this path now if we want to survive as a race, right? They're totally against everything, so we got to separate.
Once
people separate and start doing their own production, the rest of the country will fall apart. We'll be years ahead. Once we get freedom back where we can invent, keep our own ideas, and produce, we'll be light years ahead of the rest of the country right away. Kind of like examples how after the Weimar, when the Nazis came in, they went from what we are now to the biggest, strongest economy in Europe in just a short amount of time. They got rid of the central bank, started producing their own money based on labor.
And that's another thing we have to deal with is the dollar, the currency. So I think what you're, this separation we're seeing already, where these more liberal states and cities are just bleeding out white people and people that want to work and have a better life, and they're coming to the rural areas. You're already kind of seeing the separation. But now, I don't know what's going to happen with the dollar, because it's going to get to where, I mean, the only reason the dollar is powerful is because they could base it off of, you know, oil producing countries had to use the dollar to.
Yeah, that's going away.
And now that's going out the window. So that system's going to collapse. And so they're going to have to bring back production, or we're going to just live in a giant third world, and the people aren't going to, you know, eventually people are going to rise up against that.
Yeah, if they're let they overrun us and don't kill everybody off the vaccine, that's a problem too. A lot of producing people took the vaccine. They're all dying now.
And I think the purpose of the vaccines were predominantly sterilization. I think they wanted to give people vaccines over a period of a decade to sterilize them. That would definitely get the population down.
What's their biggest threat is a white Northern European male, because they don't stand for tyranny forever. They always uprise sooner or later.
It's been interesting bouncing these ideas off the wall and these scenarios. I appreciate your call, Scott, listening to the show.
Okay. Have a good one.
All right. Well, it's been classy. I'll be in one.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.